Well, happy Thanksgiving. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. The Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, in verse 6, will serve as our text this morning. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Continuing Paul's thought in verse 7. "In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So here we have a warning against sinful worry, against sinful anxiety, and an exhortation to constant prayer and communion with God. Now, many miss those two words, "with thanksgiving," as they seek to obey the rest of the injunction, choosing to retain the right to complain about God's answers to their prayers. Let it not be so with us.
Amen.
We'll make three applications in our sermon this morning. First, that all prayer is to be done with thanksgiving. Secondly, our attitude in everything we do is to be with thanksgiving. So we're going to go beyond the actual words of the prayer and take it back to the root source, the heart. And third, that God would not command the heart to be thankful if there was nothing to be thankful for. Notice that there are no people who are exempted from this command, which we receive here in the scriptures. First, all prayer is to be done with thanksgiving. And forgive me, for I run the risk of being a little too repetitious. We've been running along this theme over the past month in these sermons, although we've been taking texts from various parts of the scripture. We've been dealing in various ways with the subjects of prayer and gratefulness quite a bit. That's no accident. So much of prayer is a laundry list of wants and not needs. And when this kind of prayer is not answered to one's liking, pouting ensues. And the man or woman of weak or selfish faith is upset because God has not given him or her the answer that he or she thinks that God owes them. Prayer can be done in one of two places. Prayer can be done on the pity pot, low to the ground, with an earthly attitude, or prayer can be done on what I like to call the prayer parapet. And what a parapet is the place on the wall inside a tower where somebody would go to maintain their position. It tend to be more of a defensive position, but it could also be an offensive position as well. And picking up on a theme of the Tower of the Lord, I encourage you to go into the Tower of the Lord and take your place on the prayer parapet. Where do you pray? On your pity pot or on the prayer parapet? Prayer without thanksgiving is ineffective prayer. First of all, prayer without thanksgiving is unacceptable to God because thankless prayer is a violation of God's command. The Lord has a harsh rebuke for those who pray presumptuously. A presumptuous prayer is defined as one that is without thanksgiving and without praise. Do you thus deal with the Lord? O foolish and unwise people, is he not your Father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Take a self-inventory. Consider whether you thank God when you pray and how often you thank Him. You've come to his house this morning. In this you have done well, for the command has gone out, as our brother had spoken in the call to worship this morning. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now in the days to come, continue after the same manner, having been rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Our attitude in everything we do is to be, quote, with thanksgiving. Let us seek the Lord's help in cultivating a thankful heart, because on our own we tend to get discouraged when our own desires and our own wants are not met to our satisfaction. Therefore, keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. A heart filled with thanksgiving is a heart which honors God. For the Lord looks at the heart. Has the Lord need of miserable servants that so many Christians wear long faces and have negative outlooks? The trials may be intense. Your life may be difficult. But Christian, joy is the ability to conduct yourself with thanksgiving. For Christian joy is knowing God is there all the time, in all of life's circumstances. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So yeah, life throws its curveballs. Life stinks sometimes. But joy is the ability to be able to persevere with thanksgiving through all of these things, knowing that whatever else may be true, God is walking with you through that trial. Yea, even carrying you when you need it to be so. Third point this morning, God would not command us to be thankful if there was nothing to be thankful for. Have you ever thought about that? Why God would say, be anxious for nothing. He doesn't say you ought to, or, you know, consider, take a survey. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I don't see any optional in that. And there is so much of that in the Scripture. And we're so good at making everything that God says optional as it applies to our circumstances, aren't we? We are masters of self-deceit. We deceive others pretty well, but we deceive ourselves even more so. So God would not command us to be thankful if there was nothing to be thankful for. Don't say I have nothing to be thankful for God has not given you that excuse. You may take it upon yourself, but you're totally out of the will of God in having such an attitude. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. This is the inverse in our subtext, taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, this is as the world speaks. But on Friday, as we were talking, it occurs to us that there actually is, spiritually speaking, one thing that we can take out, and that is our relationship and our communion with God through Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you're relying on what you can take out that you've accomplished in the world, and you go out with nothing. And you won't be in heaven, if such is your case. Without Christ, where will you be? But without God. And in the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. Enough of this cheerful talk. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. So if you have received anything in this world, this is more than you had before. And it is God's gift to you. And are you on bended knee with thanksgiving or not? Whether little or much, as the world may consider, the Lord has surely blessed you. For even as a child, you could sing and you could see that little as much when God is in it. But as we grow older, we get more sophisticated. And in our own mastery of self-deception, we're many times able to stifle the sight of our many blessings. This is what is meant by the words of the Apostle Paul. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. The attitude we ought to have. Now let us go back to our text, which reads, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." And then what does it say? "Let your requests be made known to God." So we see that in the Bible, thanksgiving has an object. We're not, thankful for this door or for this floor or, we don't know what. Let your request with thanksgiving be made known to God. Our thanksgiving has an object, and it ought not to be directed to anyone or anything on earth. It's okay to say thank you. But ultimately, we ought to be saying thank you to He who dwells in heaven, who has given us the blessing. If we received the blessing through the agency of somebody else or through something, it's because God has seen to it that it has come to pass. God is ultimately the root cause and the root author of every blessing. If you mutter thanks to what you do not know, how will it profit your soul? If you make an uncertain sound with the trumpet, how will the army know if they ought to be going to battle or not? So if you do not know who God is, or what it is to approach Him in prayer with thanksgiving, then listen up. For you have less time to set straight this matter of your soul than you had before. You're running out of time. We're all running out of time. The clock's ticking, and suddenly the bell's going to go off. And there'll be no more time The clock will no longer be ticking, and as it is appointed once for men to die, and after this the judgment, so it is. What will you say on that day? For surely there is a God in heaven who holds to account his people. And he'll have only one question for you. What did you do with Jesus? I sent him into the world, not just to die for the world, but to die for you. And I placed only one condition. I have not made it hard, but simple. For the Lord desires all to repent, believe, and come to salvation. And I provided one way, Jesus Christ as the way to me. And all I asked you to do was believe, to trust Him in faith. What did you do? Never mind the bushman, I've got that covered. You heard the gospel. What did you do with it? What did you do with the gospel? Yes. Jesus is not one God known by many names, but Jesus is the only way to heaven. And those who believe in Jesus Christ are guaranteed a place in heaven. We can mark it down. And I don't expect you to believe me. I joke around a lot, right? You shouldn't take me that seriously. But when Jesus speaks authoritatively. And surely you can believe the words of Christ. Here's what he said. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. If you come, he's not going to say, well, you're not good enough. See you later. There's nobody who's been so bad that they've been able to get beyond the reach and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think you've been that bad, you've been that one, you've got a lot of pride, my friend. Because you've got to stand in line behind all of the murderers and adulterers that we find even in this book, in the Bible, who knew Christ. And by the way, there's a whole bunch of them in the genealogy of Christ too. Went through this a couple of Friday nights ago. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me. That of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me. That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is speaking of the resurrection of life. There are two resurrections, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of judgment. That is the absence of eternal life with God. Well, if you have no other reason to be thankful this morning, here's one. That when all of this is over, I hear a lot, you know, especially doing the evangelism, wow, this earth, this is like hell on earth, right? I've already lived through hell on earth. How can there be a hell? Well, okay, I'll grant you that. Maybe that's true. I mean, theologically speaking, that's not exactly true. But, yeah, semantics. Go ahead. We'll go to town with that one. Why then, knowing how bad hell is, having experienced on earth, would you deliberately choose to go there for all eternity? Now that defies logic. But think about what we're saying here. So, if you have eternal life, then you've got one reason to be with Thanksgiving today. And if you don't, and you're living on hell on earth, you have no excuse not to be. The Bible doesn't cut any slack for that. Neither ought His ministers or His people. Being loving, friends, means telling the truth. And this is the truth, what's in this book. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your truth. We're so thankful for the free gift of eternal life that You offer us. Lord God, we thank You for all of the blessings in our lives that man or woman that You've given us as our husband or our wife, our children, our parents, our church, our jobs. Lord, we are none of these things. We came into this world with nothing and we're going to take nothing out. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be appreciative and with thanksgiving all the time. Not being found taking things for granted or what have you. And Lord, the next time we start pouting and whining and grumbling, Lord God, call to our remembrance, either in our own minds or through the godly counsel or word of somebody else, even a godly rebuke. Call to our minds that we have many reasons to be thankful this Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.